Ah, yes. Welcome, welcome, welcome on in. It is a victory Sunday here in Atlanta. I am Chris Thomas Turtle with you on the Falcons Flyover, coming to you live from the Signia by Hilton, right across the street from the gorgeous Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the Atlanta Falcons just pulled off a much-needed, we won't say those words, producer Eric Slaughter, that we said we wouldn't say yesterday, must win. It sure felt like it, though, 34-27 over the Washington Commanders and our old friend Marcus Mariota, who, to his credit, did make some plays today, had a couple of touchdowns, had a couple of nice runs, but not good enough. The Falcons offense, what was that last week? I don't know, but we flush it and we move on, because this week, everything the Falcons offense wasn't, it certainly was today. There's a litany of things to go over, and we will. But the most important thing, as always, as we do on the Falcons Flyover after each and every game here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, is take your calls. I am with you until 7:30, and we will take as many calls as we can fit to print, as they like to say. The number 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Here's how it's going to work. Going to give you my initial thoughts on the game, what I saw, what I liked, if there was anything I'd like them to work on during the bye week. And then it's all me and you. When I get back from our first commercial break, it is me, it is you, it is the phones, it is Twitter, it is 404-726-0929, and it is at C Thomas Radio. First of all, just from a big picture standpoint, the difference between 1-3 limping into a bye week with the Buffalo Bills coming to town in 15 days and being 2-2 after a impressive victory over the Commanders is a night and day difference, right? Everybody, let's take a collective, truly collective sigh of relief after that performance by the Atlanta Falcons. It was awesome. All the doubts we had about the offense, about Michael Penix Jr., Zach Robinson, everything that went on, no touchdowns for the receivers and the tight ends, special teams being a mess, the kicking game being a mess, all answered the bell today. Check, 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 check. So where do you want to start? You want to start with Michael Penix Jr.? How about 20 for 26 for 313 yards through the air, two touchdowns and a pick? Passer rating of 126. Pretty good. How about Bijan Robinson? 17 carries for 75 yards and a touchdown. Running game back on track. Why? Oh, because instead of one carry, Tyler Allgeier got 16 for 50 yards and a touchdown. So you get 307 yards through the air. You get 130 yards on the ground, and the offense is rolling. We mentioned no touchdowns for the wide receivers and the tight ends. How about Drake London? 8 receptions, over 100 yards and a touchdown. We mentioned Kyle Pitts. How about him? 5 catches for 70 yards and a touchdown. Pretty good. Parker Romo made all his kicks. Special teams, much improved. So you got to look at a game like this and say, as much as we dogged Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson last week, and rightfully so, and you know I was right here on the air on 92.9 The Game doing just that, they responded. To Raheem Morris's credit, he said at the beginning of the week, I can't wait to see how Michael Penix Jr. responds. And boy, did he ever. Again, 20 of 26, 313 yards and 2 touchdowns in the air. And you score 34 points after scoring zero. Has there ever been a bigger swing from a team being shut out? I bet you this is one of the bigger point totals a team has scored coming off of a shutout in the NFL. I bet you it is. To score 34 points after putting up a goose egg the week before is just awesome. And now, again, bigger picture here, I don't want to say you saved your season, because, again, that's not fair. It's not fair to the team with all those games left to play to sit there and say that there wasn't a way for them to bounce back. But I really thought if you lost this game, then you're staring 1-4 in the face with the Bills, because they're the best team in football, in my opinion. And then a Niner squad that's looking to get healthy there's a potential for 1-5. And I thought if you got to that disaster area, anything and everything was on the table. But now, everything and anything is on the table the other way. Playoffs, division, everything is now back on the table. 2-2. If you ask the average Falcons fan, what would the record be after the first four games? If you said 2-2, I think you'd be crazy not to take it. With the Atlanta Falcons taking care of business two out of the four games, I just think most of us thought the 2-2 would have been in a completely different fashion. It would have been losing to the Vikings and losing to the Commanders and beating Carolina and beating Tampa. So it doesn't matter how you get there, I guess, ultimately at the end of the day. But the fact is you're now 2-2 going into a bye with your entire season ahead of you. So 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Falcons fans, just how much of a giant sigh of relief is this? It couldn't have been, and it's not like you won, you know, 17-14 on a late field goal. No, your offense was scoring points the entire game. Yeah, it was close at the end of the day. I never really felt like this game was in jeopardy for the Falcons. I felt like this was a solid win. I know they didn't have Jaden Daniels, but guys, after what happened against Carolina last week, I don't want to hear none of that. I don't want to hear they didn't have player X, player Y. You got curb stomped by the Panthers. Sorry, that's just the facts, Jack. And this week you were able to respond to the tune of 34 points. So when I get back, I got an hour to take your calls. Me and you, Falcons fans, let's all rejoice in this one. Season's back on track. We're where we need to be. Penix looks good. Offense looks good. Let's talk about it all. 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas, Turtle, just getting rolling with you on the Falcons Flyover.
Algiers come into the ballgame. Bijan had to replace the tearaway. I'm just kidding. Washington through the formation. They give it to Algier. Uh-oh, Tyler breaking free. 10-5 shoulder. Oh, touchdown! Atlanta! Check the license plate, Jeremy Reeves.
Wow. Yeah, and that's something we talked about all this week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you on the Falcons Flyover, live from the Signia by Hilton Hotel at the Nest. Come through, say hi, have a brew, and watch the late games here comfortably with your feet after the Atlanta Falcons take down the Washington Commanders by a final of 34-27. Bijan Robinson obviously was the star of the day with another just insane all-purpose performance, showcased all the versatility, the strength, the speed, the power, the vision, the quickness, the awareness, but so did Tyler Algier. You heard it with our buddies Dave and Wes on the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. So how good does this one feel, Falcons fans? Because everything we talked about all week long on all the shows, morning shift, all the way through to me at Chris Thomas tonight, Zach Robinson, inconsistency, lack of adjustments, Raheem Morris, coaching mistakes, special teams issues, kicking issues. Well, check, 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 as I said in the first segment. Penix was awesome. Running game was awesome. You broke the streak of no wide receiver and touchdown tight ends in the same game. Check, check, check. Special teams was great. You had 2-for-2 from Parker Romo. He settled back in. Okay, so now you head into the bye week with everything in front of you. 2-2, doesn't matter how you win the game, style points don't count in the standings. So right now you flushed Carolina, now you're looking at 2-2 with a real challenge in Buffalo, and then you got San Francisco, another real test. You got to go on the road, and you'll see where you're at that point. That 1-5 that I was so worried about, that's now off the table. You were able to slay the dragon today, and the Atlanta Falcons had an absolutely brilliant performance today, considering everything that was stacked up against them to come back today, put up 34 points, and take care of business at home. Again, I don't care about style points. The Atlanta Falcons are not in a style points business right now. They're in a game-winning business. That's the only thing that matters. 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. Let's start with James in Gainesville. James, how are we feeling?
Hey, Turtle, how you doing?
What's up, James?
What I want to say is I'm glad Atlanta got the win and everything, you know. They did do a lot better this time around. They're a lot better game than what they played last week, you know. But what I wanted to say, too, though, is that my problem with Atlanta is I'm concerned that we're back where we were the last couple of seasons, like when we had Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota and Kirk Cousins as quarterback. And that is, we win a game and then we get all hyped up about it, and then they fall back apart again. And you know what? It's like you.
Isn't this one different because of the stakes that were attached coming off of a loss like that? Like, it wasn't just, oh, we're doing another season of the Falcons roller coaster. It was, is this whole thing broken? Is our offensive coordinator broken? Is our game plan broken? Is our quarterback broken? Is our kicking game broken? And they answered those questions today, James. The answer is no, they're not.
Well, I think the million-dollar question is, can you beat the Bills? And I don't think they can. I don't think Atlanta can stand up to the top teams in the NFL. And you got to take your play to another level, and that's what's holding us back from the playoffs, from the Super Bowl, and all this other stuff.
But, James, if you lose to the Bills, and I appreciate the phone call, even if you lose to the Bills and then you go into Santa Clara looking to go 3-3, that's still, you're fine. The Bucks lost today. They looked human for the first time all season. They couldn't stop the Eagles' offense, even as good as their defense has played at times this year. Baker tried to lead a comeback, couldn't do it. No team is infallible. You know, we've seen the Panthers and Saints be pesky. Who says the Bucks don't lose to them a couple of times? I'm surprised, James. James is a regular caller, and he's a smart caller. I'm surprised that's the direction you wanted to take your phone call. 404-726-0929. Guys, again, I think to nitpick after a win like this is tomfoolery. Because you think about the loss you're coming out of. You got to consider that. That plays everything into this win. If this was just another ho-hum situation, I would still be happy with it. Yeah, maybe I'd focus more on the defense, giving up, you know, unnecessary chunk plays to Marcus Mariota a couple of different times. But as a whole, to put up 34 points and win this game, making a statement victory after you got utterly embarrassed, I think is what needs to be focused on here. There's always going to be things to improve on after a game. But with how close we all were to the edge after that Carolina game, to come back and not only win, and again, not just like a scratch and claw type of victory, you came out and you were throwing the rock in a way we've been dying to see all season. Let's go to, is it Briner in Vinings? Go ahead.
Hey, Turtle. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Turtle, I'm with you, man. Like, this is a win we have to celebrate. Michael Penix, we got to give some time. He's still like his second year, but really it's not. And he performed. He's calm under pressure. And we have to – right, that's what I'm saying. We have to give him – and it's a matter of time. Like, look at Jordan Love when he played for the Packers. They give him time. We just got to give him time. That's my opinion. And go Falcons. I think we had a great win, and we got to celebrate great wins just like – how we are depressed when we lose bad losses, right?
Yeah, you're 100% right. And that's where I think we all need to be, myself included, media, fan base, coaches. Like, just realize what you're able to do after how bad. Remember last week when we were sitting here doing this show, how just there was nowhere to turn for optimism. There was absolutely nowhere to turn for optimism. Nothing worked. Defense sucked. Special teams sucked. Offense sucked. Quarterback sucked. Running game, eh. There was nothing to turn to after that game to hang your hat on to say this team was going to bounce back. Washington was even down to a slight favorite on the road with their backup quarterback and their wide receiver one out. Like, we got to, again, context, peeps. Like, we all got to think about this in context. Again, also, if we said to y'all 2-2 going into the bye, 90% of us would take that. That's where I had them. I had them 2-2 going into the bye. I just thought the results would have been different. But the Falcons are not in a position right now. The Falcons are not the Eagles, where style points matter. And they're going to be talking about in Philly tomorrow how they let the Bucs get back into the game in the second half. That's not where the Falcons are as an organization right now. You take the win, and you put it in your back pocket, and that's another one off the chalkboard. That's it. You got to just keep chugging. We'll see what happens against the Bills in 15 days. We'll worry about that when we get there. Right now, we got to celebrate a win. Let's go to Peter in Twin Cities, Minnesota. Hey, Petey.
Turtle, last week, man, you had everybody ready to jump off the bridge.
Okay.
And, you know, I just want to say, part of being a Falcon fan is just trying to ride it out. See what's going to happen.
But, Peter, you don't ride out 30-0 against Carolina. That's not a ride out loss. A ride out loss is if you lose to the Bucs 24-21 like you did. That's a ride it out kind of loss. 30-0 against the Panthers, that's not a ride it out loss, Peter.
I'll give you that one. But everybody was so nervous last week. And this is what being a Falcon fan is. I hate to say it, but that's just how it is.
No, Peter, I appreciate the phone call, man. But, guys, I'm not here for negative. Like, I'm not here for ride it out tonight. I'm not here for negativity. I'm not here for we won but, which is what I got after the Minnesota game. Guys, for this team to respond in this way was fantastic. 34 points at home. When was the last time the Falcons scored 34 points at home? It feels like it's been since the last time they made the playoffs. Somebody can hit me with the date, but it feels that way. I'm just saying, like, again, I'm going to keep using the word context. You have to have context of this victory. Was it perfect? No. But given what you were coming off of, it damn well might be. Because all the doubters, all the talk, you fired your wide receivers coach. You move your offensive coordinator down from the booth to the field. Zach Robinson, that play scheme today, night and day. That was absolutely the correct move for the Atlanta Falcons. I saw more motions. I saw more unique play designs. I saw more scheme concepts than I've seen all season long from the Falcons. And how about this, Atlanta? We saw Michael Penix throw the ball down the field multiple times. Multiple times. So really, I to complain about a win like this or try to put lipstick on a pig about a win like this is listen, you are entitled to call in and say whatever you want. I am here for the Falcons flyover. My job is to talk to you and we hash it out. Negative, positive, or indifferent. 404-726-0929. But again, given where this team was, to be anything but over the moon excited about keeping your season on track, to me, it's just baffling. But that's why we're here to talk. Cody's incoming. Cody.
Yo, what's going on, Turtle? Rise up, baby.
What up, Cody?
Hey, we got that dub. That's what I'm talking about. I'm celebrating this Sunday. It's going to be a good week. We don't got to worry about them this weekend. So all week, we're going to be feeling good. I'm just calling in to share the love. Do I got some criticism? Of course I do. Still a little bit of that clock management creeping in a little bit. You know what I mean? That was a little concerning. The special teams are a little questionable. But, you know, we still got that dub. Who cares if it was their second string quarterback? Who cares if they didn't have their top wide receiver in? You got to get these dubs in the NFL. I hope it's not a false positive for the Falcons. I hope we take this bye week, we keep building, and we come up and we surprise Buffalo, and we keep building on this. I hope. Let's go, baby. Rise up. Happy fucking Sunday. Sorry for cussing. Oh,
let's make sure we dump that. Cody got a little too excited near the end of that one. 404-726-0929. But that's the right sentiment from Cody. Yeah, of course. Like I just said it, of course, there's always, even if you win 30-0 like the Panthers did last week, they went back and looked at film and said, we still could improve on X, Y, and Z. That's always going to be the case. But this weekend, with all the stakes attached, with your offensive coordinator's job seemingly, at least from an outside perspective, to be questioned at the nicest you can put it, in the balance, as harsh as you can put it, to come up with this sort of a response, I think is awesome. Let's go to Scott in Atlanta. Scott.
Hey there. So look, special teams is still a major concern, giving up 27 points to Jaden Daniels less and Terry McLaurin less Commanders is a concern, but I want to talk about the offense. Let's try not to get too high or too low, but I've been more critical of Zach Robinson than just about anybody or most, but I have to admit this was an absolute masterclass by him, and you know, you could spend hours in an ESPN special going over what he did today, because I saw looks that he did today that they haven't done all season. And what he really did, he simplified the offense, but he put Penix in positions that helped him, and he gave him safety valves. I saw comeback routes. I saw safety valves that weren't there in the Carolina game. They lined up Bijan out wide, and then they put Bijan all over the field. And they put Drake and Kyle in formations that were in motion, and they put them together so that it really confused Washington on where Kyle Pitts was going and where Drake was going. Sometimes Kyle would go inside, Drake would go out, and then vice versa. So with Zach Robinson today, what he did today, I mean, it truly was a master class, and he deserves a lot of credit because he not only put Penix in a great position, but he did formations that really confused Washington. And thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Scott, I completely agree. To have as much scrutiny as he got in the past week from this media market to rebound like that, I agree with Scott, is absolutely awesome. 404-726-0929. I'm with you until 7:30. Little shocked at some of the calls, but listen, I'm here to take them no matter how you feel. To me, this is nothing but celebrate. This is nothing but realize where your season was before this game, what could have been, and now what is. And that is nothing but positive going into the bye week. I see Harrison's in the A. You'll be first when you get when we get back in 5 minutes. Grab a line, 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you on the Falcons flyover till 7:30.
Shotgun set now. Robinson off Penix's left hip for second and goal at the 6. 5.5, if you will. Commanders showing pressure. Penix going to gun it to the end zone. Touchdown, Drake London. And we're going 9-5 for the first touchdown.
What a sight for sore eyes as the Falcons, as you know by now, you've heard the stat all week on 92.9 The Game, went into the contest with 0 touchdowns to their tight end group or their wide receiver group. Well, check and check is the theme of the day here on the Falcons Flyover. Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you for about another hour. We are live from the Signia by Hilton at the Nest on the 4th floor. Come say hi. It is a packed house. We are watching NFL football, a good one going on between the Chiefs and the Ravens, but a better one, the Falcons defeating the Commanders 34-27. Just so many positives to take away, and again, I'm just continuing to be a little bit interested, a little perplexed, a little, I don't know. I don't know the right words to use, which is my job, so that's how you know it's a little alarming, about just we can't come together on anything. Meaning Falcons fans on this show and on my show, 6 to 10 weeknights, on 92.9 The Game, when I think it's obvious that we're going to just have a celebration for 90 minutes, my first call of the day is negative. And it's from a loyal listener and a guy that calls me all the time, and James. And James is a smart Falcons fan and always brings up good points. And it's not that the points that he brought up today weren't valid. It's just wrong time and place, right? Like, again, in the time that I've been here, which is approaching 5 years, this is one of the biggest statement games the Falcons have made, coming off of getting absolutely drubbed the way that you did by the Carolina Panthers 30-0 and responding in this way, putting up 34 points. to me, is nothing short of awesome and should be celebrated as such. Again, every single game, no matter who you are, if you're the Eagles or if you're the Saints, if you're the best team or the worst team in the NFL, you're always going to have stuff to go back and fix. But with all the marbles and all of the stakes that were attached to this game, going into the bye 1-3, Buffalo waiting for you to send you to 1-4, then you got to go to San Francisco, and just the snowball that could have been from what was going on, to me, you just have to celebrate. Again, we don't use the words must win because it's not. But I used the word yesterday on my show. I did a Saturday show. And E and I used the word desperation. This was a desperation game. Everybody needed to mind their P's and Q's and come out firing. That is exactly what they did. Harrison's in Atlanta. Harrison, go first.
Turtle, happy Sunday, my brother. How you doing?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm good. What a change in Sundays, man. I was one of the few fans that decided last weekend to drive up 85 to Charlotte to witness that atrocity. And, man,
did they give you your money back?
That game, did not get my money back. But in that game, man, you could just tell Michael Penix, he was a pitcher that just didn't have his stuff that day. And yeah, like you were saying, it's his seventh start. You got to be realistic. But for me, looking at it, I was like, all right, I'll give you a pass on that. You're going to have bad starts. It's your seventh start. I want to see what you can do this time. And I was very impressed with it. I wanted to ask you, I mean, obviously Penix's strength from watching him in college and short time starting last year was the deep ball down the field. Do you think it was something that Robinson was dialing up? I mean, I'm sure on previous games, like, they've had guys deep and he just hasn't been pulling the trigger, but obviously that's what he's good at. I just wanted to get your take on if it's something that maybe it was in the progression, he was having, like, the deep ball being called earlier in the progression, or if they told him earlier in the week, like, hey, we need you to pull the trigger on these, or what you saw on that.
Yeah, Harrison, appreciate the call. Good stuff. Sorry you had to drive up there last week, but hopefully, as I tweeted out at C. Thomas Radio, this one kind of felt like your redemption song. Yes, so single high safety versus two safety looks has been a topic of conversation this season. They have been playing Michael Penix Jr. through the first couple of weeks with double safeties, meaning they're daring you to throw the ball short and intermediate because they're taking away, Harrison, the deep ball for Michael Penix Jr., because now he has to worry about two guys ball hawking back there as opposed to one. Today, for whatever reason, Washington didn't do that nearly as much. Actually, it wasn't for whatever reason. I believe one of their safeties was out with a rib injury. So you're relying on more inexperienced guys, so you go more single high there, opened up the deeper throwing lanes, and you saw Penix was finally able to uncork a couple. Also, Penix was skittish last week, Harrison, to your point, right? So when you're skittish and you're throwing the ball flat-footed, you don't want to throw the ball deep down the field, because if you can't step into your throws and you can't make your accurate reads, it's going to be interception city. And even though we had one today, Michael Penix Jr. is not in the business of, being a turnover machine. That's not his profile. That's not how he plays. That's why he doesn't go running around all the time, because he knows the importance of protecting the ball. So, Harrison, for me, it's those two main reasons that we haven't seen it until today. The defense allowing for it, and then Penix getting his confidence back is what allowed, finally, for us to see some of those deep balls. Javon is in Marietta. Javon.
Yo, I don't want to sit here and, I don't even know, but Falcons came in. I'm the one that called last week talking about staring 1-5 in the barrel. I got to get my thoughts collected, but staring 1-5 in the barrel, we're not. It's 2-2 exactly on schedule. That's what I thought we were going to be. We're staring down Buffalo, but it doesn't bother me right now seeing this offense click. This is the exact offense that we thought we were going to see, bro.
Yeah, Javon, thanks for the you're right. Now, thank you for the phone call. Thanks for checking in. I was with you on the 1-5. If they didn't win this game, I was really worried about a 1-5 start. I was really worried. And that's why this game was so important. not using must win, but was really, really important. 404-726-0929. Ian's checking in from Norcross. Ian.
Hey, y'all. I am in the middle of Walgreens getting my prescriptions, but I got a moment right now. I remember you saying something about how Falcons fans are being very fickle. And I was like, man, I don't know. Like, I feel like this is the one thing that we're known for is being extremely fickle. So I like
what I saw today very much, though.
Ian, hang on.
I'll let you finish. My point is, even the most fickle fan could understand the importance of bouncing back the way that you did today after the performance you put up in Carolina. I don't care how fickle you are.
And that's what I wanted to touch on. I mean, I feel like this can't be understated where, I mean, last week you can't even score a single point, get into the red zone, a single time, and now we're just flying around the field. You know, the offense looks completely different. We ran a completely different scheme than what we ran before. Our defense, it was a little bit, I'm not going to touch too much on that. This is a day for, like you said, celebration, but I like what I saw. I was not too happy with Zach Robinson before, but
well,
I like, you know, the way he bounced back, and I'm excited to see what we got going. Let's, you know, rise up. Let's go.
Yeah, Ian, appreciate it. But even in Ian's voice there, E, I'll bring you on for a quick sec here. Like, didn't you just hear the hesitancy? Like, he was like, yeah, we did it. And I was just waiting for the butt, man. Like, waiting for the butt. And I don't want to – today is a no-butt kind of day.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you.
That's what I'm trying to say to everybody.
And then you've heard it a few.
You hear it in Ian's call.
Yeah. And I'm
like, it was timid, tepid optimism. And we can worry about the things that need to be fixed over the next – we got 15 days, right, y'all? But today, like – again, I don't want to sound hyperbolic and say you saved your season, but to a certain extent, it feels that way.
Yeah, everybody is afraid to be in that person. See, I complimented them too soon. They're all worried about if we lose another game. Like, see, I gave them praise, and they make me look stupid. No, give them praise. Today they earned praise.
Today they earned praise. You're exactly right. And you know what? I don't think they're going to win the Buffalo game. But you know what? 2-3 going into San Francisco, that's not a game that you're automatically going to lose. To be 3-3 through six games is fine. Like, this thing is, if you were 1-3, this thing was going to spiral out of control, in my opinion. Now, it's not. You can weather the storm. Your schedule gets a lot easier after San Francisco. Let's go to Phillip in Atlanta. Phillip.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking the call. I just want to speak to what you're saying in terms of the whole context of, you know, fans not really, you know, being excited about a win. Now, me personally, I'm happy that we win. You know what I'm saying? It's still the NFL. Any given Sunday, anytime you can go beat a team, I don't care if it's a starter or the backup, a win is a win, right? But I think people are just – we're just getting fatigued. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're the second team with the longest active streak of losing season. So that's always going to come in the back of our mind, no matter how we win these games. And so I think that's the thing that people really struggle with, and not trying to celebrate too soon. But I do believe that the offense and the defense have tremendous upside. So it's just a matter of what they do for the rest of the season. I don't know if they're going to beat Buffalo either, but it's just, you know, seeing what we can do. And if we scrap our way to the playoffs, that's a whole nother thing, because once you get there, then anything can happen. But
no,
I think
Phillip, hang on. I'm going to ask you the same question I'm asking everybody. Doesn't coming off of what happened last week make what you're saying moot just for now? Just for this game. I'm not talking about for the entire season. But because of the way you got swamped, because of how everything was being questioned last week, to come back and make a statement like this, can't we make an exception?
We could definitely make an exception. I just think it's just tough for us to stay right here in one game, especially considering that we played a backup. It's just really tough, because this is just how we've been conditioned as Falcons fans, as like, You know, we're going to get somewhere, you know, that we're going to take those steps forward, but there's an inevitable step back as well. It's just really tough. I get it. You know, I'm sort of the same way. I'm happy that we won, but there's also that creeping feeling in the back of the head. So it's just tough. I mean, the team itself have a 24-hour rule. You know what I mean? So I think Falcons fans have also adopted that kind of mentality, much to, you know, everybody else's derision.
And I get it, but here's my thing. It's been 2 hours, not 24 yeah. hours. The game just ended.
I know. It's tough. It's really tough.
I get it. Philip, good stuff.
I've been a fan for the past 30 years.
Philip, I get you, man. Thanks for the call. Good back and forth. Let's finish up with Charles in Southwest Atlanta. Charles.
Yeah, you know, the problem is those guys that thought the Falcons weren't going to win today, they lost money. That's why they talking negative.
You think they were gambling on the game, Charles?
Yeah, and they lost money. They thought the Falcons weren't going to do nothing. They couldn't see no foot in their nose. So the Falcons tricked them.
Well, you know what, Charles? Let's not pay attention to those people then. Because if you're playing the game with your wallet instead of your heart and your head, then what are we doing anyway? Then you're not a real fan. Then you're just concerned about either fantasy or stats or whatever. And that's not what this is about. This is about riding and dying with the team.
If the Falcons play like they played today, they will win it here when Buffalo come in here.
Yeah, Charles, and thanks for the phone call. Listen, I don't know about that, but I just want to let you know that I'm here for the hope, and I'm here for the optimism today. 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number. Got a half hour left to take your calls. This is a very interesting discussion we're getting into, y'all. It was sort of similar after the Vikings game, but I feel like, I guess because of the way last week went and the instant scar that it left, some of y'all are just having a hard time saying, man, our season, it looks like we're still in this thing, we're hanging in there, and we got a chance still to end this playoff drought. Whereas if you lost this game, I don't think we could have had that conversation. But I want to hear from you either way. Got a half hour left to take your calls. Line them up, 404-726-0929.
Ball at the Commander 14 and a three-point lead. Penix will bring London through the formation to the left, hand it to Robinson. Bijan bounces inside the 10, keeps his feet at the 5, spins into the end zone. Touchdown Atlanta. What a run, Mr. Robinson.
And what an afternoon for Bijan and for Tyler Allgeier. The running game back on track. Receiving game back on track. Quarterback back on track. OC, you say it. Back on track. It is the Falcons flyover. Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you for another 30 minutes as the Falcons take down the Commanders at home to go to 2-2, a much-needed victory heading into the bye week with Buffalo looming large. Now, this show, again, is not meant for me as the host. It's meant for me as the host to talk with you, the fan base. And I love doing it, and it's one of my favorite things to do. That's why I take a lot of phone calls on my show as well, Chris Thomas tonight, 6 to 10. But sometimes I get thrown for a loop. I don't know. I mean, I think the conversation's going to go one way, and it takes a left field on the way to Grandma's house through the woods and over the river, and we wind up in a very interesting place, and that's happened again tonight. But I love it. I love the discourse. I love the back and forth. I love the passion. So as long as that's what I'm getting, we dictate the conversation to each other based on what you say to me. This is as our buddy John Fricke likes to say, an old school talk show. Because it's me talking with you as the fans. But when you call in and give me your thoughts on the game, like, I don't know how some of y'all who have called in tonight are looking at this from any sort of skewed perspective that I've heard tonight. And it's been more than a few calls. Now, to the credit of everybody else, there have been more than a few outright just positive Falcons fans that are just sharing in me with a great victory. And that's where I'm at today. This is a great victory. I'm not talking about the score, y'all. I'm talking about what it means for the status of the season and the status of you going into a bye week 2-2 as opposed to 1-3 staring 1-4 in the face with Buffalo. I know there's areas to improve. I get it. And I get what those areas are. And yes, they're important. But not right now. Right now, we can all take a collective sigh of relief and say we avoided a catastrophe. Because I truly believe 1-3 would have been a catastrophe. And that's not where this team is right now. And not only are you not there, but the biggest question of all that made us take a collective gulp, you know, the Slurpee size one from your favorite corner store, was Michael Penix Jr. off to the wrong foot this year? Well, he answered the bell. 20-26, 313, 12 yards an attempt, which is maybe the most important stat out of all of those, because it felt like 4 yards an attempt through the first three games. 2 touchdowns. Yes, he had a pick, but it wasn't an awful pick. He was trying to do what's called layering the ball. He was trying to throw the ball between a defender and the receiver, and he just threw it a little bit too short. He needed to throw it up a little bit more so his receiver could catch it and the defender could make a play on the ball. That's something you can learn. That's correctable. That's not standing back in the pocket, throwing it sidearm, and getting your receivers killed, which is what he was doing last week. But again, I want you to call in with your honest opinion. That's what we do anytime I talk to you on the phones. So if you're like some of our callers who are going to hit me with the turtle butts, that's okay. We'll talk about it. 404-726-0929, Matthew's in Athens. Matthew.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Matthew?
Hey, I was at that Bama-Georgia game last night, and I'm just happy one of my teams didn't let me down today. I'm so happy. Wow. Penix finally looked like the Penix that we wanted to see all year. Bijan, that's given. Defense was a little bendy, but you know what? Everybody played good today. Parker Romo made both of his field goals. I'm happy, man. I couldn't be happier.
No, Matthew, and I appreciate the phone call. That's how I thought everybody was going to feel, to be honest. You know, again, I said it to start the show. I was joking around, but it's true. Check, 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 check. Penix, back in action. Check. Zach Robinson down to the field helping. Check. Play calling more consistent. Check. Raheem Morris, better game plan. Check. Special teams, check. Kicking game, check. Wide receivers and tight ends getting in the end zone, check. All of these things that we were worried about last week that reared their ugly head against Carolina and against Tampa, we got on the board. So to Matthew's point, I'm happy, man. And listen, we'll talk about that other game this week on 92.9 The Game. That's going to be an interesting discourse about winning and losing big games. Joe is in Atlanta. Joe.
Hey, how you doing today?
What's up, Joe?
Yeah, nothing much. Yeah, I'm glad they played a good game today. Couple of mistakes, but I hate they lost last week against Carolina. But did anybody ever think it's a good thing they lost to Carolina to show Atlanta, hey, if you don't bring your A game, what can happen to make them play the way they played today?
Joe, it's an interesting point, and I appreciate the phone call. I'm going to say no, and here's why. This team is not experienced enough for that. If this was Philly, Tampa, I don't know, Kansas City, and you had a sleepy game where you got your butt kicked, there is a resume there. Eagles Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Super Bowl champions, Bucks 4-time division champions. There is a record there that tells me and tells you that they can come back and weather the storm. The Atlanta Falcons have no such record, unfortunately. So, unfortunately, to your point, I don't think they needed a game like that to get their butts in gear. So that's why a game like that just scares the living daylights out of us. Because now we have to question everything going forward. We have to question ourselves and say, hey, what is this team? Is this the team that lost to Tampa and to Carolina? Or is this the team that beat Minnesota? And that's why the question marks were so strong leading into this week. And you were able to, at least for now, put some of those question marks behind you. Corey's in Decatur. Corey.
Yes, how are you doing today?
What's up, Corey?
Hey, listen, so I'm going to blow your phone line up. So just imagine, instead of drafting Robinson, if we had Jalen Carter, N'Kobe Dean, all these Georgia Bulldog players that play for Philly, tell me what our record would be if we had N'Kobe Dean, Smith. We already had a strong running game with Tyler Allgeier. If we had Kirk Cousins, you can't tell me we wouldn't have a better record if we had drafted these Bulldogs. We might even be in a championship race, and I just wanted to get your opinion on that, and I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Corey. Here's my response to that, Corey, unfortunately. I don't care. We didn't. Again, after a game like this where your offense goes out and scores 34 points after getting shut out the week before, and you essentially save your season to go 2-2 and keep your playoff hopes alive to break a 7-year drought. Corey, why in the world is that where your head is at? Why? Why in the world is that where your head is at? Come on, man. I don't give a crap if we drafted Jaden Carter or Jordan Davis. We didn't. Why are we thinking about that right now? They play in Philadelphia. We are in Atlanta. Those two things could not be less relevant to me right now. Why are we thinking about something from 4 years ago, coming off of a 34-point victory, where this offense was inept last week and your quarterback proved to you he still has a pulse? Why are we this is exactly what I'm talking about, everybody. Why, instead of celebrating this win, why are we talking about that? Why are we pointing out negatives? Why are we saying but? Why are we saying, you know, the team won, but they're going to lose to Buffalo, and it's not going to be the season that we want? Guys, stop. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Can we please, just for 5 minutes, take in the fact that if this team did not win this game, it would have been a catastrophe. And they proved to you that they can hang and win this game. David's in Athens. David.
Turtle, what's up, buddy?
What's up, David?
So check this out. You know, the last time I remember the Falcons losing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, week one was in 2016. I was at the game, and I remember everybody was losing their mind. Kyle Shanahan this is Pop Warner. This is high school football. Fire Kyle. I remember a petition going around to fire him, right? Well, obviously we ended up going to the Super Bowl. It was the exact same thing after, you know, week one, not so much week two, but then after last week, everybody fired Zach Robinson, fire him. I was very impressed by the game today. I mean, it was far from perfect, but for them to bounce back, a young team like they are, and one thing that I love through all of it after the loss last week, you know, confidence doesn't directly win football games, but there was no waiver from anyone. I mean, it was all, everybody was like, it was horrible. We played an awful game, and to bounce right back like that was phenomenal. So I agree with you. So I just wanted to say that for everybody to remember. I mean, I don't know how many people that I talked to of the fan base that were wanting to fire Kyle Shanahan after the first game of, that was his second season in Atlanta. And, you know, same thing with Zach Robinson. You know, after that game, I get it. It was awful, but all of it was awful. So, anyway,
David, I got you, David. Thanks for checking in from Athens. I agree. David, you make great points. There are a lot of corollaries between 2016 and this year, but that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean they're going to the Super Bowl. They might not make the playoffs, or they might go to the Super Bowl. They might win a Super Bowl. We don't know, David, but the point is, it's okay to enjoy the moment. Just like it was okay to be mad last week, it's okay to say, hey, I am resting easy tonight because this season is now all in front of us. as opposed to going 1-3, staring 1-4 directly in the face and saying, well, there's another one gone by the wayside. That's how big of a swing this game could mean for the Atlanta Falcons. Yo is in Atlanta. Yo.
What's happening, Colonel? Happy Sunday, brother.
You too.
I know, right? Hey, listen, and it's been a weird season already. I mean, four games in, and the two teams that we thought we'd lose to, we beat. The two teams we thought we'd beat, we lost to. That stuff last week was crazy, right? That was insane. And then those guys turn around this week and just give a nothing burger, right? So I guess, you know, they're a Super Bowl, but we don't care about Carolina. This is not how we roll up in here. So, once again, we sit there and we say, what adjustments did Raheem actually make? Well, he made quite a few of them, right? And he actually put his offensive coordinator down on the field so he can sit next to Michael Penix and explain to him what he saw in the play, and Mike can explain to him what he saw in the play. You know what kind of a difference that made? Oh, wait a minute. We're scoring points again. You asked a crazy question earlier. When was the last time we scored 34 points? What was when we lost to freaking Carolina Panthers at the end of last year? Right? We know we're capable of doing it. And we can have Mike throwing for those yards, or we can have Bijan and Kyler running for those yards. This is the offense that we wanted. This is what we expected. And by the way, while everybody is sleeping, this defense is looking kind of good, brother. This defense is looking like they can stop people. They can get three and outs. When it's time for the game to be on the line, they can actually shut people down. Oh, my God. My 15-2 record is not going to happen at this point. So I'm going to have to adjust at this point. So I'll just go ahead and mea culpa right now. I'm saying, 13-4. Thank you, brother.
All right, yo. Appreciate you as always, man. Did you all know that the Atlanta Falcons have the number one passing defense in the NFL? Just, can we let that marinate for a second? The Atlanta Falcons, yes, the Atlanta Falcons have the number one passing defense in the NFL. Heard that on the broadcast today with Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt. I didn't realize that. Let's all have that marinate for a second. So to Yo's point, yes, the defense wasn't perfect today, but you have the number one pass defense in the NFL. Mariota only had 156 yards passing. Bryce Young last week, despite putting up 30, only had like 130 yards passing last week. I'm just saying. 404-726-0929. We are celebrating a 34-27 victory. Most of us are. 404-726-0929. Drake is in Hampton. You'll be up first when we get back. Got another segment to take your calls. It's Chris Thomas, Turtle, on the Falcons flyover till 7:30.
Tight end right, London to the right, two receivers left, pistol with Robinson. First and goal off the Commander's 7, play action Penix, loops it here to the near side, into the end zone, goes Kyle Pitts, and the Atlanta touchdown.
How good did that one feel? Pitts gets rewarded for all of his big catches so far this season, and he makes it happen with his first touchdown. It is Chris Thomas with you on the Falcons flyover live from Insignia by Hilton with you for just another couple of minutes here. So let's finish up on the phones with your calls. Drake is in Hampton. Go ahead.
Hey, Turtle, how you doing today?
What's up, my man?
Listen, first thing first, first question I need to ask. Are we allowed to say hell on the radio? Because I just need to know before I say it.
You just did, so go ahead.
Oh, my bad. But listen, this is for the other guy that was talking about who we supposed to draft and stuff like that. I don't know what they got to do with today, but as far as the Falcons today, I'm gonna live in the moment and enjoy my win. I don't know what everybody else talking about. I don't even care that I'm finna lose in one of my fantasy games. I'm just glad we got that dub today after last week.
Well, Drake, and thank you for the phone call. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, live in the moment for this week, y'all. Like, again, the magnitude, I understand in general, you know, the way the seasons have gone the last couple of years, it's very hard to get too high or too low. I get it. But this game specifically, I think we can make an exception for, right? How bad last week was, combined with how important this game was, going into a bye, Buffalo looming, all the things we've been talking about, staring down 1-4 in the face. I think with the way that this team responded, it's not like they came out and put up 10 points. They put up a 34 spot and absolutely showcased that this game plan is not broken, the coordinator's not broken, and most importantly, Drake, the quarterback isn't broken. So I'm absolutely 100% on board with you. But we've taken a lot of calls tonight that have felt differently. I get it, but I'm just a little shocked. 404-726-0929. Zach's out in Rome. Zach.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
What's up, Zach?
Hey, man. I think we need to give Zach Robinson a little bit of respect here. I mean, especially after a stinker last week in Charlotte, after all the criticism he took throughout the week, I think he really came out this week with incentives of, hey, we're going to go down the field here, get Tyler the ball, be John the ball, all that good stuff, and really did his thing. And another thing, this Buffalo game coming up really reminds me of when the Chiefs came to town on, I think it was Sunday Night Football, whenever it was, last year when the Chiefs had came off the Super Bowl. I know a lot of us, they were doubting us, and we had no way we could beat the Chiefs. But I was just thinking of it like this. I think the defense this year is tremendously better than last year. And really, if you really think about it, if they would have called that pass interference on Kyle Pitts, there was probably a chance that we would have won that game. I'm not saying that we can beat the Buffalo Bills, but I think that we have a chance to compete and definitely shock the world for sure. I'm not being a delusional Falcons fan here. I'm just looking at the positives from week to week here. And, yeah, I really do think that we're going to shock the world. And Falcons naturally just play good on prime time in general against good ball teams. So I think here in 2 weeks we're going to – I think it's going to be a one good game, and I think we're going to shock a lot of people.
Yeah, Zach, absolutely no reason you can't think that. Now that this game is in hand and you're going in and you get 2 weeks to prepare, guys, that's what I'm saying. That's why this, to Zach's point, that's why this win is so important. You know why? Because now you can dream about that. Now you can dream about Buffalo. You just showed that your offense isn't broken. You put up 34 points. If you put up 34 points against Buffalo, you can win that game. You don't even need 34 points. If you can put up 30 against Buffalo, you can win that game. I did not believe the Falcons had a chance at all to win that game if they lost today. Wind out of your sails, bye week of just sulking and trying to get over it. I didn't think it was possible. Now, 2-2, bye week, season, playoffs, everything's on the line. Keaton's in Douglasville. Keaton.
Yo, turtle.
What's
Listen,
up,
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm a negative Nancy, and that might be a little bit hard to swallow here, but I'm going to be 100% honest with you, man. You know, if this was Jaden Daniels and their star receiver completely healthy on the field and we finished the game 34-27, I could feel a little bit better about this win. But we beat Marcus Mariota. Every single person inside of Atlanta knows what Marcus Mariota has to bring to the table. I'm not impressed by that. We're going to get, and you can excuse me for saying this, we're going to get our butts kicked by the Buffalo Bills, which means, yeah, we're ending on this. We're going into this bye week 2-2, but we're going to be 2-3 immediately out of the bye week. And Josh Allen is a different animal. And, you know,
okay,
I kind of
expect
that either way.
But Keaton, if you went into the bye week 1-3 and then what you say happens, you go to 1-4, your season's over. At 2-3, if you go to San Francisco and win a good game on the road, you're back to .500 and everything's fine.
I understand that, man. But and listen, Chris, this is no shade to you or anybody else on 92.9 The Game. I understand that y'all are 92.9 The Game, the official sports cast for the Atlanta Falcons. And I know that y'all have to tell that optimism, but I can't. I mean, I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan,
Keaton,
man. I can't
Keaton,
take all of that
no,
in
no,
heart.
No. Keaton, I can't allow that because you cannot sit here and tell me that you've listened to me this week and that I was not critical of this team. Get out of here with that, Keaton. Come on. Appreciate the phone call, but brother, come on, man. You cannot sit here and say that I was selling you gold about anything with the Falcons this week. That's just simply false. That's not true. There is no directive from Mike Conte, from the Falcons, from anybody about what to or to not say about this team. I am privileged and blessed to come on this air every day and share my honest opinion about the state of the team. And if you listened to my show last week, it was not positive by any stretch of the imagination. It was negative. It was, holy crap, what just happened? Can we rebound from this? That was my take on that game last week. And because they were able to respond and bounce back this week, just because I'm positive about it doesn't mean I'm selling stuff for the Falcons. Come on, Keaton. You've called me before. You're better than that. Come on, man. Well, regardless, this was an amazing win, in my opinion, because of everything that was attached to it, the stakes, the drama, all the changes this week, and for the offense in particular to respond like that and put up 34 points for me was nothing short of awesome. 2 weeks to sit on it. That's the next time I'll be back with you here on the Falcons Flyover, 92.9 The Game.